song of Wah Hoo Wah. We'll sing it o'er and o'er. It cheers our hearts and warms our blood to hear them shout and roar.
It doesn't even rhyme.
Can you let me finish?
Not ever.
We come from old Virginia, where all is bright and gay.
But not too gay.
Stop it.
Let's all join hands and give a yell for dear old UVA. Doug.
Wahoo wah, wahoo wah, UVA, Virginia, hooray, hooray, hey, hey, UVA.
Woohoo!
By the way, the not too gay part, like, I didn't make that up. That was added by students at some point, like, in the early to mid-90s. And there was actually a controversy over that a few years back where some of the more politically correct groups on campus made a public plea for them to stop throwing that in there because it was homophobic. But I don't think it caught fire because at the time, Virginia was still coached by Al Groh, and they weren't actually scoring enough touchdowns for that song to be sung enough for it to make a difference. So I think that effort kind of died out.
Wouldn't it be the worst testimony to your football team's skill level if your fight song contained an actual racial slur, but nobody complained because you never had to play it?
Yeah.
Do you know what's really funny is it makes Virginia kind of a perfect fit for the virulently anti-gay Chick-fil-A corporation.
Yes. Yes, that is an excellent segue. Not at all.
It does. You know, it's like they went to a game, heard but not too gay, and like, oh, these are our people.
You know, we have some friends who are a lesbian couple, and not just in their spare time. They do it full time. And we asked them about that. Like, oh, you know, aren't you, as straight people, aren't you concerned about Chick-fil-A's, you know, really, really violently anti-gay stances? And they were like, yeah, but the sandwiches, man.
I have so many gay friends. One of them I actually worked on the staff of the paper with at UGA, and he wrote a whole column about how awesome Chick-fil-A is. And people were like, don't you know about them and the gays, and don't you feel bad about that? And he was like, I know I should, but I just can't. It's so good. It was kind of like Ryan Gosling in The Believer. It's like, I know this is bad, but I can't stop. This is just how I feel.
This entire podcast is consigned to the spider closet before it even begins.
This is, by the way, the 35 for 35 Bowl-palooza New Year's Eve edition, where we have five bowls to cover. So we won't just break this up into five mediocre podcasts. No! You get one stonking huge mediocre podcast.
Five times as mediocre.
Yes. And we should introduce ourselves. I am Chick-fil-A abuser and gay rights trampler, Spencer Hall.
How do we follow that?
I'm sorry. The sandwiches are just so good.
I am fellow Chick-fil-A abuser and son of two, not one, but two University of Virginia graduates, Doug Gillette.
I'm Holly Anderson. I have not set foot in or ordered a Chick-fil-A product since this whole boofarah came about. But I have to admit, their PR department does send me the most entertaining photos from Bowl Week because they, at the Chick-fil-A Bowl, let participating teams do things like a milkshake-making contest and a meat-eating contest. And I'm surprised they would open themselves up to those jokes.
Well, considering that, you know, their motto is eat more chicken, but they're against the devouring of cocks by, you know, men. That was forced, but I got there. Let's go ahead and discuss this, because I'd like to, because the Chick-fil-A Bowl is actually fairly interesting. And fairly interesting is as good as you're going to do today.
It's as good as you're going to do today, especially after the double scoop of sad rum raisin that is the Liberty Bowl and the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl at 3:30.
There's nowhere to go there, is there? At 3:30, you're either stuck watching a bad bowl game or a bad bowl game.
You get 6-6 Vanderbilt, 6-6 Illinois, 6-7 UCLA, and a Cincinnati team that's the most fraudulent 9-3 I think I've ever seen.
I think I'm gonna have to go with the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl by default, though, just because as a Georgia fan, I still have PTSD flashbacks anytime I even hear the words Liberty Bowl. Much less watch it, so we can't do that.
I think Doug's afraid of James Franklin.
I think any SEC team is afraid of James Franklin.
Okay.
And has PTSD thinking about going to Memphis. It's not the Liberty Bowl so much. It's really Memphis. Yep. What was that?
That was our Mark Cohn intro.
Oh, no. No. Keep that
every time. This is true bit of trivia. Every time I'm in an airport or a Publix or wherever and Walking in Memphis comes on, I call Spencer and just hold the phone up to the speaker and let him suffer.
Yeah, which, by the way, we need to come in either to that or just play the gayest possible song as our intro.
Who's a really homophobic musician?
No, not homophobic. We need a homophilic musician.
Oh, okay. Pet Shop Boys. Doug has all of it.
Okay, we'll put some Pet Shop Boys underneath this. Maybe some Go West to me is their gayest song.
There you go.
Yes. You go. Are you calling the Arsenal homosexuals?
Vanderbilt and Cincinnati both have to go west.
Hey, there's a segue. I'm liking that, Doug. That was my Dan Hawkins / old prospector voice because they're one and the same. The first bowl game we have today. In this rambling intro.
No.
We're going to discuss this. We will. In case you wonder what tire company will just up and desert you for Texas, it would be Meineke. Because Meineke, remember, the Meineke Car Care Bowl was in Charlotte, but they have migrated southerly to the Meineke Car Care of Texas Bowl. I believe, wasn't this the Ticket City Bowl? No, it wasn't.
This is just the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, this was the Texas Bowl. I'm sorry.
I think it was the GalleryFurniture.com Bowl before that.
So in other words, this bowl game has never had a good sponsor.
But it's always had a belt buckle for a logo.
Well, it should, as it's in Houston, which is not even really a cowboy. This should have a gigantic thing of cough syrup, because all cough syrup jokes lead back to Houston. This is Northwestern versus Texas A&M, and I cannot think of a more nondescript matchup of teams. Can you?
See, that's why I'm worried that Meineke is just going to up and leave this bowl again for a younger, hotter bowl. I mean, they told Charlotte they were going out for cigarettes and never came back, and then now they show up in Houston. But now, you know, now they end up with Texas A&M and Northwestern as their teams. And they're like, oh, God. What about Vegas? Mako can't hold on to that bowl forever.
Reno, I feel like, is the next frontier here.
Reno? Then your marketing's...
The best little bowl?
Exactly. The marketing's already done. It's the best little bowl in the United States.
Mm.
Really, this game could be nigh unwatchable. It really could. Now, I could say that about any game today.
Mm.
Most any game, except for the Sun Bowl, because the threat of cartel violence in the middle of a bowl game just keeps me coming back.
And snow a mile from the Mexican border.
Yeah, that
less. Could... The Sun Bowl is less than a mile from the Mexican border, and last year they had to scoop an inch of icy slurry off the field.
Your insinuation that Mexicans can't have snow is kind of racist, though. I just thought. But
to be fair, Doug would know from casual racism.
Hey.
Athens, stand up.
UGA, UGA.
That's right. Yeah, laugh it up.
It's casual racism. It's not like the good militarized racism you'll find in the SEC West. Hey, SEC West listeners.
Oh, God. Spencer, Doug just said scoreboard, and I realized he gets to lord over both of us for like 8 months.
No, he really doesn't.
He's going to be unbearable. No, he doesn't. No, you're right. He doesn't. Sorry. Sorry, Doug. We don't recognize your authority.
Doesn't matter. I know what happened.
Yeah, UGA, by the way, doesn't really care either, because, you know, they're the Colorado Buffaloes of the SEC. They'll always have Boulder. They'll always have Athens.
Mean.
You know, you're in your Bill McCartney phase right now. Charismatic Christian coach, consistent performance, right? Once he leaves, you're going to go through this horrible Barnett/Hawkins phase. It's coming up.
Let's see, which replacement for Mark Richt would be most likely to suborn and condone rape?
Gary Barnett himself. It's not like he's busy.
Oh, no.
Gary, EDSBS Legal would like you to remember that Gary Barnett never actually condoned rape. Although, maybe he sort of just slid it in there. I don't know.
Kind of winked at it, I think.
That's unfortunate phrasing.
Slid what? Oh, all right. Hey, speaking of the GalleryFurniture.com Bowl, the 2001 edition of that game was the last time Texas A&M won a bowl.
Oh.
Hey.
Good.
And I drag us kicking and screaming out of the mud puddle.
No, but I mean, give Texas A&M this. Now that Mike Sherman's not the coach anymore, they might actually hold on to a second half lead.
They can get one in the first place because they're, I mean, Cyrus Gray still has a broken shoulder, right?
Yeah, well, so I believe Cyrus Gray actually.
And they've lost Christine Michael.
Yeah, no, I think actually Gray's back. Gray's back for this.
He's back, but he's still got a stress fracture in his shoulder.
Well, he's a football player. He'll experience a lot of pain and probably have a subpar performance as a result of it. Mm. They never say that, by the way. They never say, he's a football player. He'll be out there. They really should be saying, he's a football player. He'll be out there. And his performance will be affected. And he probably won't be as good. It just doesn't sound as snappy rolling off the tongue. But yeah, they'll be out there. And they're a better team on paper than Northwestern.
Their pass defense better than it is on paper? Because Northwestern's got Persa back.
Northwestern does have Dan Persa back. The excellent but breakable Dan Persa.
That makes him sound like a Cavalier and Clay supporting character.
Yeah, he might be. I really can't say that he's not. But at the same time, this is 2 6-6 teams, but one of them was like a 6-6 of, yeah, you go 6-6. And then the other was like, what the hell are you doing at 6-6?
They did. I mean, you know, they did come out of it with they had that 5-game skid in week 3 that, you know, partially overlapped with Persa, you know, getting knocked akimbo. But then they came out of it with a streak that included, oh, wait, I was going to crow about their 4-game win streak at the end of the season. But 4 of their last 5 games were Indiana, Nebraska, Rice, and Minnesota.
I mean, Nebraska, they won in Lincoln. That's impressive.
That is impressive. They got pantsed by Michigan State over Thanksgiving weekend, but Michigan State is good. But let's go back and look at the teams they lost to. Illinois.
Ow.
Army.
Good God.
And Michigan and Iowa. But
to think that losing to Army was just their way of being patriotic. It was really kind of a nice gesture on their part.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this is a Pat Fitzgerald team, so they're not going to get blown out a lot. They do keep it close. So none of those losses, I know they're bad, but really, only the Michigan loss really got out of hand. Like, the Michigan loss and the Michigan State loss. As long as Northwestern wasn't playing anyone in the mitten, they were doing okay. But this is really a team that got to 6-6 out of sheer will. They didn't really...
Moxie.
Oh, there we go.
Moxie.
Yeah, frankly, tuition at Northwestern is too expensive to have guts. They have Moxie. Moxie is like...
Pluck, they've got pluck. Yeah, pluck.
Yeah, Moxie is guts with an MBA. That's really what it is. So I think this game, you're probably going to see Texas A&M just, I think, take out frustration. And it's not going to be huge.
They're going to take out frustration for a half.
And then they'll do what they always do, which is sort of swoon and sputter and dick around for a quarter before finishing this off.
SEC!
Oh, we have to do that now, don't we?
Is it too soon, or do we have to start that now?
What do you think?
I'm never going to do it. I refuse to recognize them as SEC members.
Oh, yeah, but what would an Alabama fan do?
Yeah, in this and all things, we have to comport ourselves in the manner of Rick Muscles.
Again, don't listen to that Boulder hippie over there, okay? Holly, yeah. what would a real dyed-in-the-wool, partisan-to-the-bones SEC fan do? They would claim this.
Make sure that the game was out of hand in favor of Texas A&M and then start an SEC chant.
That's right. That's exactly what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, Alabama fans, but particularly because A&M is going to be playing in their division next year, if A&M wins big, they're going to be using that already as justification for what a tough schedule they're going to play in 2012.
Can I show you how to really properly play this game? Are we ready to do this? I'm going to show you how to play this game. Okay. How? 11-1 Alabama. Follow me? Okay. 11-1 Alabama loses to LSU in New Orleans. They go 11-2. Okay? But dig this. Gene Stallings, former Alabama coach, is on the Texas A&M Board of Trustees. Are you with me? Okay. Texas A&M wins the game over Northwestern. Therefore, via Gene Stallings, we get to claim this game too. So really, Alabama would only go 1-1 in bowl season if you just count this. Because Texas A&M really a subsidiary of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide.
Hang up and listen.
Strong.
Yeah, see, that's how you do this.
That happening.
Yeah. And Ryan Tannehill is going to throw two dumb picks. That's the only other prediction I have for
God,
that.
God, I'm going to miss him.
Really?
He didn't play for my team, so yes.
The growing meme is that Tannehill is like a virtual lock to get drafted by the Redskins in a few months. So I'm going to be watching his performance with horror and anticipation.
Come on, y'all. He hasn't had a 3-interception game since the last game of the regular season.
He does have some John Beck-esque qualities. That much I'll give him.
Wait, guys, I can save this. Come on, he's only had 3 3-interception games this season.
And on color for this game, it is a Wish He Was in Greasy game, but you'll get Emin McEnany, who I really wish would announce this in a thick Chinese accent so we could just be really confused with the name and accent combination. Can we talk about the Sun Bowl? I love the Sun Bowl.
So El Bowl del Sol!
El Bowl del Sol. This is a Georgia Tech game, so I feel like Doug is uniquely qualified to give us some perspective on a matchup. Versus...
Are you ready for a 7-minute rant about how he's going to sell them across the border?
I am, actually. I would be, because we've already seen photos of Paul Johnson singing and dancing, right? Which, if I were to ask you, what are two things that you would never see Paul Johnson doing, right, besides caring?
Disciplining his player. Oh.
Oh, it would be those two things. So, what is he up to at the border? At what point does he get involved in our lucrative drug trade with Mexico? And what and how disastrous are the consequences?
Does he fall in love? I think that's key.
I know he does not. I'm just going to, no.
Okay. Doug will not allow Paul Johnson a torrid affair.
No, Paul Johnson will not allow Paul Johnson a torrid affair. He doesn't.
Doug, that's you, this is how biased you are. You're not even allowing Paul Johnson love.
Not even a doomed affair.
I'm not allowing him love. Paul Johnson's not allowing Paul Johnson love. You don't honestly think he loves, do you?
You've got me there. I don't.
Whoops. He's some pansy.
Poor. I think he's more like. Maybe the closest thing he experiences to love is like what an iguana feels when you dump a jar full of flies in its cage. It's like, oh, food.
No, I think on his wedding night, he patted his wife on the back. It was like, good job.
Good hustle.
Exactly.
Good hustle down that aisle.
That's as strong as it gets, man.
Hey, who among us, after a bout in the sack, has not had the urge to do exactly that? Great hustle. Good job. You really got after that. No one?
Holly does not want me to come.
And with that, I think we've managed to move on and actually discuss what this game is going to look like. Utah, by the way, we're discussing. There's a lot of teams today, by the way, that really, when you're going, hey, you know, that team probably doesn't deserve to play another game. Utah. No?
How many teams today deserve to play another game?
Let's see.
Tech, Virginia, and oh God, I think that's it. Two of 10.
Yeah, that's about it, because
Utah has the added ignominy of being the team that paved UCLA's way into the Pac-12 title game
because
they couldn't do something as simple as beat Colorado.
Yeah, that's this team, by the way. If you want to look at their wins, they're generally against really lousy teams, and then their losses are not good. They lost 34-10 to Cal. You know, they lost 17-14 to Colorado, and if you watched it, by the way, Colorado gave them every shot to win that game down the stretch. You know, turnovers, not running the clock out, just everything you could want, and Utah still couldn't capitalize.
Unless we forget, they didn't have to play Oregon in the regular season, and they also didn't have to play Stanford.
Yeah, didn't have to play Oregon, didn't have to play Stanford. Still at 7-5. They would have not have made a bowl if they'd had a tougher draw, right, in the Pac-12. The one game where they managed to really uncork some serious whoop-ass was against BYU, who, if you didn't see yesterday, won a game on a fake spike.
What's their version of confession? Because that's where they've got to go.
I think their version of confession is Provo. You just have to go to Provo. That's it. Like, there's actually nothing involved in it. So, not a very good Utah team. Kind of a dismal offense that finished it with Norm Chow at the helm, by the way. Now Hawaii
his
head coach.
His stuff takes a while, though. His stuff takes a while to kind of congeal together, and now they won't get the chance.
No, and I don't know if anyone's really going to regret having him around, because that was 110th in the nation. Yeah. 110th. So not just in the hundreds, they're in them low hundreds. Low hundreds. But not a bad defense. They are very good against the run, and that's good, because Georgia Tech, in case you haven't seen, they sort of like to run the ball.
I'm kind of hoping this is going to be one of those weird games where Tevin Washington throws for 600 yards for no reason, though.
It very well could be. Oh, my God. And if you want to look, by the way, Tevin Washington has some of the weirdest stats. Like,
I know!
His profile, like his average pass, like his average play when he completes it is really, really ridiculous. But in the end, he ended up being about 12 TDs or 11 INTs. So every time they put the ball up, it's going to be deep, and it's probably going to be a jump ball. That's it. It's going to be 50-50.
It's the simple things.
It really is. And if you haven't followed, by the way, the Georgia Tech player to follow on Twitter for this game is Embry Peoples.
Oh, Embry Peoples.
Oh, Embry Peoples. Ep the Slayer, who I think he's...
our second favorite player named Peoples.
Yeah. He's a colorful individual on Twitter. You should follow him. He's not Will Hill colorful, but he's still very he's interesting nonetheless. And moving on, I think now that we've managed to go ahead and just wring all the life out of the Sun Bowl, we come to the
worst. To be fair, El Paso wrang all the life out of the Sun Bowl.
That's true. We can move on to the 3:30 block of games, because that's the 2:30 game. The 3:30 block of games.
This is where it really gets dire.
This is our Waterloo right here. You want to know where bowl season, just the returns based on your investment are just negligible to negative. That's what you're looking at here. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Doug, have you been to the Liberty Bowl?
Like actually physically been in the stadium? No.
Yeah. Holly, have you been to the Liberty Bowl?
No, of course not.
It's deplorable. If I say it's in a bad part of Memphis, does the full gravity of that really reach your ears?
Perhaps you should explain to people who aren't of parallelogram extraction what that means.
Memphis is as close as a city can come to being both functional and in an open state of crime as economy. I mean, Memphis doesn't really exist. There's like Beale Street. And then there's
the pyramid.
Yeah, and there's some bars and tire shops. That's it, in Graceland. And then the pyramid, which started to rust and look old about 6 months after they finished it.
It's like America's version of a crumbling, war-torn, sub-Saharan African capital, pretty much.
That is the best summary, with more humidity. Like, even more humid than Africa. That's Memphis. So the Liberty Bowl, not exactly the best in terms of a setting. Although, remember, their halftime shows tend to be more entertaining than one might think. Do you remember who played halftime there last year?
I don't.
That would be Eddie Money.
Nice.
Eddie Money. I don't know who's playing there this year. I think it's Casey and the Sunshine Band this year.
Yeah, it is. It's Casey and the Sunshine Band and a bevy of local homecoming queens.
Oh, man. So if you want to see some girls whacked on weight loss methamphetamines, right, dancing to the music of 35 years ago's... In white evening gowns. Actually, I just totally sold myself on this. Like, get me this post-urban, poverty-stricken dystopia stuffed with beauty queens from the Burbs and Casey and the Sunshine Band. I'm now completely sold in this game sight unseen.
Hey, man, if you hit the road right now and just drove flat out, you might be able to make it in time for the second half.
Going up against this, by the way, and this is Cincy versus Vanderbilt, are we on the same page as saying that Vandy's probably going to clobber them?
I think that they might, because I said this earlier, but I think Cincy is the most fraudulent 9-3 team I can remember.
I appreciate the use of fraudulent, by the way. Instead of saying they are a fraud, you're getting around my clown fraud rule.
Well, and James Franklin is going to reach, but he's going to find a way to like reach back to some undignified thing that Cincinnati did to Vanderbilt, like in 1932, and be like, "You're going to let them disrespect you like that? This is where we would defend our honor." And the players are going to just go out there like rabid animals and just drop 50 points on Cincinnati.
Do any of you like art? Do any of you like homoerotic art photography? Of course you do. They banned Robert Mapplethorpe back in the 80s. Please. These men are a disservice to American photographic classics.
Have you seen what they call Chile?
Their metropolitan airport is in Kentucky. You call them a major metropolitan area? That's ridiculous.
We can't do James Franklin's voice yet. I don't feel like I've got a handle on it because I've only seen him talk at one media days.
Yeah, and he's got kind of like that mid-Atlantic accent. And
I can't do the Maryland thing yet. We're gonna have to work on this.
Yeah, he sounds like your stern stepdad who's like really dressing you down for not showing him the proper respect though. Like every time I've heard
him with like a sweater tied like around his shoulders.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sort of thinking that this is where Vanderbilt manages to put an exclamation point on their season, which
6-7! Seven and six! Exclamation point!
Again, that's you beat me to the joke that 7-6 is an exclamation point at Vandy at this point.
It's more of an interrobang.
I'm really terrified of them becoming Stanford. By the way, I have no idea why. There's really no rational basis for me doing this.
Don't even say that. Don't even think that.
It would be bad for me. It'd be horrendous for you.
You're from there.
I know. But, you know, like, growing up, we were, like, Vandy friendly. We just never rooted for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect.
Moving on. This is where I really feel like we can come into a happy, blissful spot in this day. Because there are bottoms. And then there are power bottoms. And the power bottom of the bowl season is, ironically enough, the bowl in San Francisco. That would be the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. Illinois versus UCLA. The only game I've ever seen where coaches might not coach the game due to a labor dispute.
Has that been resolved yet? Because as of last night, you know, Mandel was out there in San Francisco. And the coach is like, "We might boycott." And he calls the school and they're like, "What?"
Oh, my God. Oh, that's, yeah. Illinois.
Love the Chicago Sun-Times, by the way, who credit Sports Illustrated by saying, "Offensive line coach Joe Gilbert told Sports Illustrated's website." No, you can't tell a website things. I mean, I tell our website things all the time, but it doesn't respond.
Yeah, you're like, thanks, guys.
What's the antidepressant with the ads where they're like
Cymbalta?
With the cartoon lady who gets followed around by the little black cloud with eyes, and she says, "My depression does blah blah blah."
No, this is Cymbalta because the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl hurts everywhere.
I feel like this bowl needs to be sponsored by some kind of antidepressant. This is like the dad boner of bowls that is divorced and kind of working a menial job, goes home to sleep on the couch of a best friend. Find solace in like pigging out at Chili's and drinking top shelf margs and trying to feel like a whole man again.
Is Neuheisel coaching? He's coaching this, right?
No. It's interim coach versus interim coach versus four assistants who might not even show up.
Okay, I just want to make sure that, you know, we weren't going to go ahead and ignore the importance of Rick Neuheisel coaching this game.
And you know, it's getting lumped together because they're saying four assistant coach. Please note, among these four assistant coaches threatening to boycott the game, their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So, it's three position coaches and a coordinator.
If this game manages to actually happen without those coaches, if Illinois plays better football, let's just all stand and applaud.
You know, the 86th ranked offense in the nation, it might not be the worst idea.
Yeah.
Hey, remember a few years ago when Georgia finally gave Willie Martinez and those other defensive assistants the heave-ho and then had to coach against a pretty good Texas A&M offense in the Independence Bowl? That actually worked out all right. So, you know, maybe they'll band together. Maybe it'll be like the replacements where they just grab a bunch of, like, random people off the street and make them coaches and they all, like, rise up and band together to have like an awesome performance.
Yeah, maybe without three offensive assistants, they'll be better than 91st in scoring.
I doubt that.
I do too. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I will just go ahead and pour some
advocate.
I will pour some frosty water on that and say no. That's probably not going to happen. There's no reason to watch this game unless you like sadness, which is why I'm probably going to watch it. Moving back to our final one, the one we started with, which would be Virginia versus Auburn.
And so blessed.
This is a tale of two nearly identical schools and teams. For instance, Virginia was founded by, the name escapes me, if only someone could remind me of who.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, I think it was Benjamin Harrison who founded this.
No, Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, no, I think it was Rutherford B. Hayes.
No, it was the Bronte sisters. That's why it's in Charlottesville.
Oh, that hurt bad.
That's not nearly as bad as, all right.
Yeah, so founded by Thomas Jefferson, the University of Virginia. And Auburn, which was founded by Nathan Bedford Forrest.
As we all know.
Right. So those two schools, I mean, nearly identical right there. Two teams which are nearly identical in that neither were really sort of expected to do anything sort of other than exactly what they were this year. You're like,
that they had the exact same colors.
Yeah, and my parents actually said that because the team's colors are identical, there was like kind of an informal instruction sent out that Auburn folks should wear navy blue and the Virginia folks should wear orange. And my dad was really ticked off because he didn't want to wear orange. He wanted to wear navy blue. I feel like if James Franklin was coaching Virginia, he would use that as the motivation to make the other players think that they'd been – make his players think they'd been disrespected and go out and just whoop Auburn's ass.
I will tell you this. Driving around downtown yesterday going to pick up my credential – which, again, thanks Chick-fil-A Bowl for understanding online media.
Thanks, Jessica.
People rule. And yeah, we get the free Chick-fil-A sandwiches tonight, so I don't have to buy one.
You need one after midnight?
I'll save one for after midnight. That's how I'll ring in the new year, is free Chick-fil-A.
On Sunday.
Really, I might eat this, and a magical leprechaun might appear and grant me a wish. Right? If I do this on New Year's Eve on Sunday, it'll be amazing.
Well, and then you just go ahead and wish for more Chick-fil-A sandwiches. So
I don't do the thing I saw in an online comic this week where it was like you point to your best friend and go, I wish he had taste buds in his asshole. Then the next frame is just the guy going, oh. No. The one thing, though, about this game that was confusing driving yesterday was I saw a family. It was husband, wife, child. And they were all really fat, like Alabama fat. So I naturally thought they were Auburn fans. But they were Virginia fans, like on a closer inspection. So,
calves.
They all had explosive calves. So it made picking them out and yelling Roll Tide at them pretty awkward, actually.
See, the dirty secret about Virginia is, and my dad, you know, the biggest UVA homer ever, has even confessed as much, that like he said, I mean, this is a guy who got his undergraduate degree from Virginia, went on to get his medical degree from there, and he was like, I couldn't get into UVA today. Like, I mean, we all think of UVA as like the public Ivy, but it back in the day wasn't necessarily like that. I mean, you know, there are white collar, you know, WASPs from Northern Virginia, and then there are the kind of Appalachian Mountain people from Southwest Virginia, and once upon a time they all mingled equally. In the hallowed halls of Mr. Jefferson's university. So there's still that kind of sect of the Virginia fan base. Most of those people have migrated over to Virginia Tech now, but there are still kind of the holdouts who you wouldn't really associate with good old UVA.
Which faction of those fans invented electricity?
I don't recall.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Auburn invented electricity. And I think that was Bo Jackson who did that. And if you don't watch his highlights, you know, if you don't believe me, watch his highlights because he's electrified. Yeah. We've had three Heisman winners, damn it. Three! Auburn, by the way, is unlike Virginia in that the entire school is just a massive tax dodge, right? So let's just clarify that too.
I feel like Trooper Taylor is kind of using that as just a place to launder money right now.
Well, you know, along with his towels. I'm convinced he has each towel that's what he does. He enters a living room and it has like $1,000 in it, and he just spins it and like rains. That's how he makes it rain. It's sort of pinwheeling it out of the towel, right?
Every once in a while, he gets really drunk and he puts dollar bills in the washing machine and sends the towels to the Grand Caymans, and then it's a big mix up and everything has to get rerouted. It's kind of embarrassing.
I call it the Troopernado. The yeah, this is going to be a matchup of two teams, by the way. Offensively challenged is one way to put it. Fairly good defense for UVA. And ultimately, by the way, I think that's the difference. Like, I think Auburn is so discombobulated. Auburn's confused enough that they're trying to, you know, rumored hire Virginia's offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Virginia's offensive coordinator talked to them. I'm told it was not a formal interview, but just talked to them about a job this week. Why this week?
Well, they're in the same place. You're not thinking about this like an Auburn person.
That's true.
You know how they hire.
I'm not thinking about this in terms of saving on gas.
Yeah, you know, like, they're thinking about this like Auburn's hiring practices have always been a great source of mystery, intrigue, and laughter, right? So why not hire somebody who's actively planning against you, right? These are the people who interviewed Bobby Petrino, like, on the sly while Tuberville was still coach. These are the people who, you know, ended up with Gene Chizik as a head coach, which, to your credit, has sort of worked, if you count a national title as working, which...
If you're into that kind of thing, which, you know, it's not for everyone.
I mean, you know, it's kind of bougie, you know, kind of show off.
Whatever, new money. You guys want to go out and win a national title. But yeah, this is I think on paper, I keep saying that. Well, let's think of a new way to say this.
On Pixel,
this is when you look at it, I think this is just going to be like a mediocre game, a mediocre defense first slamming game that I predict Auburn will win on some mistake that they totally do not deserve to capitalize on, but will do anyway because that's how Auburn wins games.
Wes Byram's gone, Spencer. He can't hurt you anymore.
It's not true. I think that's how we end up there.
Okay.
It's right there. Okay, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Cut that thing I said about Truett Cap because their PR girl has been real nice to me.
I'll find it and I'll cut it out.
You don't have to.
Damn it. All right. And if Doug has an MP3 of Go West, can you send it to me?
I got one right here. Yeah.
Yeah,
send it to me.
So just tell me which of the 14 remixes you want and I will send it right to you.
Dude, I want the standard. Come on.
Okay. You got it.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay.